This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. My newest fantasy series is going strong. Readers have enjoyed Diamond Stained, and now Oban and Abina return for their fifth and final story. Things have never been more dangerous. They have survived the chaos of Kash, explored the dark mysteries of the Ruby Ruins, protected the Obsidian Mind, and obtained the Emerald Strength. Can they survive the Amethyst Shattering? The entirety of the five-book Secret of the Jewels series is out on Amazon and free in Kindle Unlimited. Today, I'm joined by Joshua Kern. He is the fantasy and gamelet author of The Dungeon of Alaris II, The Creator's Daughter.
How are you doing today, Joshua?
I'm not doing too bad. How about yourself?
I am in the middle of a move, but I'm
Yeah, I think I saw that.
Yes. It's been crazy, but we finally, me and my roommate finally have a place, and we finally have a date when we can move in, so...
Well, that's the important
part. My schedule is becoming more and more fixed instead of being this nebulous, nebulous thing where I didn't know exactly when I could schedule something.
Yeah? Has it thrown off your schedule a lot?
It has. I mean, you know, I like to stay busy every day. But, you know, you got to do stuff. I had to go, I had to go to the bank to get a cashier's check the other day. That's my first, you know, COVID bank experience, so.
Yeah? What was it like? Yeah. I haven't been to the bank myself lately, so.
I had to stand outside to get in because, you know, they have the 6 feet distance. There's, four or five people in line inside the bank, and everyone else is, waiting outside. So that was weird. It was pretty much the same. They had, you know, the bank manager came up and made sure you were doing something, you know, that the tailors had to do and something you couldn't do, on the ATM machine or online banking. And
Okay. You know, they wanted to make sure you actually needed them.
Yeah, but they did that before COVID, though. They would go up and go, hey, you know, especially when it was busy, they'd be like, hey, you know, could we take care of this something else, or do you need to speak with, you know, a financial planner or whatever?
Okay, but, I gotcha.
Yeah. Well, no, it was kind of... That's fine. But anyways, I always like to start out these interviews with a fun question or two. So, are you an elf person or a dwarf person?
What was the second one? Sorry, you cut out there for a second.
A dwarf person.
Definitely an elf, but I'm kind of biased. I'm kind of tall myself, so, you know, playing as someone that much shorter than me would just be, weird.
Oh, okay. I'm a tall guy myself. I always like playing dwarves. I don't know.
Nah, I want to be the fast, light person that, you know, an elf is. I've already got the compact, well, not really compact in my case, but I mean, I've got the big build that you kind of find on dwarves, so I want to experience the other end.
All right. So, how long have you known you wanted to be an author?
It's been off and on. I mean, I used to make stories with my sister when I was really young. At that point I wanted to go to school for, computer science, electrical engineering, you know, something like that.
Okay.
And then when I was 19, I got in a kind of a decent accident. I mean, I messed up my leg and I had to, I was at home for a year getting that fixed. And then I got in another accident at the same time. Anyways, I was bedridden for a while because of all this stuff. And, I just started writing a story at that point that eventually I'm going to finish. But I enjoyed writing the story so much, just, you know, living in my character's head. And then I went back up to school and kind of forgot about it. But it was something I kept wanting to do, and I would write notes for other stories. And, I mean, I have notebooks full of notes for different stories that I want to do. And during this entire time, I was doing that. And then in about, I think it was 2018, I moved to Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania, gorgeous state, but there is not a whole lot of job opportunities out there. And I was living with my brother, helping him get moved into this house and just kind of renting the bottom room from him for cheap. But there were no jobs for me. And so at that point, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to finally pursue this writing gig like I've been wanting to do. And so that year I released two spy thriller books that absolutely flopped. So then I moved on to a different genre, and which was lit RPG, and I've been writing that ever since.
So you've been successful at lit RPG?
I wouldn't say successful. Well, not super successful. I've been able to pay the bills with it.
Oh, no, that's a lot better than a lot of authors get, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, there are the thin months, but the new releases, I tend to do about 3 new books a year. I kind of want to up that pace, but I have issues concentrating, and so it kind of slows me down a lot.
I understand.
But with 3 new books a year, I can generally pay my bills without having to sweat it too much.
Nice. So let's talk about your book. So the one you sent me the link for was The Dungeon of Alaria, which is a game lit in Portal Dungeon Prime Fantasy. Which is
yeah,
a lot
it's a
of
little different.
Stuff there.
So, yeah.
First off,
I
let's talk
people
about
to know
these
what
terms.
Getting,
yeah, let's talk about these terms. I'm not sure listeners are familiar. In fact, I'm not exactly sure what the prime is. I got the rest of it.
Yeah. The dungeon prime bit was something I came up with when I did the first book, because most of these stories are like dungeon core, where it's the center of the dungeon. They're creating a dungeon around themselves. But the story I was writing is the character controls the dungeon from a central location. And then throughout the story, he gains control of more dungeons that are under his. So, I mean, his dungeon is the prime dungeon, but
he
can go out and move about in the world itself without being tied to the one location. So the story is really about how the dungeons in the world benefit the world instead of just being, you know, these cash grabs that you find in a lot of different stories.
Okay. And the portal implies that there's a connection between our world and that one?
Yeah. He is originally from Earth and then gets transported with his house at the beginning of the first book.
Okay. I read an Isekaya night novel with that weird premise.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's one of those Japanese ones with, like, enormously long names. But, it was kind of funny and light. So your main character is Liam, so let's talk about him. How did he get to be a guy running a bunch of dungeons?
Well, in the first book, the apocalypse happens on Earth pretty much, and say what?
So it's game lit post-apocalyptic portal dungeon fantasy. This is
kind of I mean
I like this.
Yeah, the book ties in with my other series, Game of Gods, and that's the one where it's really post-apocalyptic. The world ends in that book. And at the same time that book picks up, Dungeon Alaria starts with him coming home from school and then pretty much getting taken right away to Alaria with his house right as the apocalypse begins.
Okay.
So he doesn't actually get to experience it, unfortunately.
Or maybe fortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I kill off a lot of people in that first book, so. But, so he just ends up on Alaria with his house, and he cannot speak the language at all. I mean, completely different language. That's one thing I wanted to make sure of, because I lived in Korea for a while, and I had so much difficulty learning the language. And so when I read these books where people get this automatic, you know, translation function, or it's just skipped over entirely, I get kind of annoyed. So I wanted to make sure I address that. But he finds out that his mom is originally from Alaria and that she was taken to Earth before he was born. But when the apocalypse happened, it created a kind of tunnel between the two and it intersected with a goddess. And that's how he became part of the dungeon, is through the by taking part of the goddess's control.
Okay.
And then he went to Alaria because of his mom, and they reunite, and he's just trying to help the world become better because the very air on Alaria is toxic, and it becomes purified through the usage of the dungeons. So he's expanding the control, trying to make it easier to live for these people.
All right. So what other characters are there besides Liam? Any fan favorites?
Generally everybody gets stuck on the girlfriend, Ellie.
Okay.
And that's because she's kind of psycho.
Ah, well, yeah, that tends to work. So she's, like, yandere.
Yeah, I was going to actually say that, because that's what I based her off of. I didn't want to go the full limit for those characters, because that's a turn-off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she definitely has the obsessive nature, the bloodthirstiness, but she's able to control it to a certain degree. And it actually ties into the story, because her mom is the same way, but she has less control. I mean, it's something that was passed down in the royal family.
Okay. Yeah, those characters can be really good or super annoying, and...
Yeah, and that's definitely the case.
If you pull it off, though.
Yeah,
great.
Some people loved her, other people hated her. So.
What about your villains? You got any great villains lurking around the series?
The main villain for book two, her name is Euronicus, and she is the daughter of the goddess who created the world.
Okay.
And I actually introduced her in the first one. She was the villain in that one, but she didn't get a whole lot of screen time because I was building up a lot of the world still.
Yeah.
And so you find out that she is attacking Liam, trying to destroy these dungeons because she wants to free her father. And her mother trapped her her husband, the father, in prison because he is the one who created the poisonous air on the world.
Okay.
And so I call it the miasma in the story. But he was trying to create a world spirit to control the world, you know, so the gods could go on to their next world. And he failed. And it created this miasma, this evil spirit. And as a result, he was trapped. And so the daughter is trying to free him. I don't want to give away a whole lot because
that's fine.
It goes into a lot of different details about reasonings and why.
Let's just tantalize listeners and not so they'll have a reason to go read your books.
Yeah. But there are definite reasons behind her actions. She's not actually a villain so much as misguided.
Well, I mean, she's like a villain in the fact that she's opposing our... So maybe antagonist might be a better word for her. All right. I always kind of like those, you know, sort of villains that... They're not evil. They're just... have different goals and they conflict really badly with your protagonist and
And that was the case with this one.
Yeah. Nice. So how game lit is this? I mean, are we talking like do you have like levels and magic system, like can people gain abilities and stuff or
no, I mean that would be more lit RPG.
Okay.
The game lit in this one, it more involves the dungeon and how it interacts with the rest of the world. And I mean the dungeon plays a big part in this story. He can create items. He can claim areas to purify the air. I mean, all of these are kind of a function of the game lit side of the story.
Okay. So is that challenging for you to like kind of keep track of his dungeons? And do you have like maps, or do you just, or is it kind of like always changing? So you kind of just can. Like, modify it as you need for the story, or what?
No, it gets kind of confusing. I have a lot of notes, and I have to hand draw this map, say, okay, the dungeon was here, it was X number of areas away from the other one, which equals about this distance in miles, kilometers. I mean, it gets confusing.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine. Like, you know, I've done, you know, I used to play D&D as a dungeon master, and you always had a like draw out your maps and know where your players were, and you could get didn't want to mess that stuff up. And just trying to put that into a book, and you know, where your character might be able to change the layout, that would be something you could easily mess up. But yeah,
for sure.
So is there more contact between Ilaria and our world, or is it just like him one time hop over?
The goddess actually plays a fairly big part in the Game of Gods universe, in the Game of Gods story, the main books. Okay. So he doesn't. I mean, he gets referenced once or twice in the main storyline, and then that's it. But the goddess herself is the one who was the reason for this companion story.
Okay. Okay. So with your writing style, are you more of a pantser or a plotter?
I'm a hybrid. I've tried plotting and it just doesn't work for me because my characters refuse to do what I want half the time.
Oh, okay.
So I'll plot out the story, and then I'll get to some random intersection, and the characters will go in a completely different direction, and I'll have to throw out most of the outline.
Oh. I rarely have my characters are that rebellious. Sometimes. I had one throw me really, really for a loop at the end of a book. And, yeah. Like, I had to scrap the entire, like, last half of it and change, like, the ending. And I'm not sure if it really worked because it really wasn't the climax I planned. But the character actions forced me to, like, down a really weird, dark path I didn't expect. Like, and I don't know, I was writing him and I just suddenly realized how he would react to the situation based on how I'd written him before. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is happening. All right. So it turned into the story's climax, but it wasn't definitely what I thought the story's climax was going to be.
Yeah, that happened to me with Game of Gods 3. The outline for the ending stayed mostly the same, but the way the final battle played out, I had to rewrite like 3 different times because of the actions they took throughout the story. So the ending was still the final scene of the book was more or less the same, but the process of getting there kept changing on me. It was so annoying.
So do you write your books out of sequence sometimes, or do you just go from beginning to end?
I try not to do it out of sequence because then I get confused. I have a really bad memory. And okay. I'm always having to go back and look at things that I've written anyways to see if I've referenced this already or if it's something I just merely thought up and thought I put down or if it's something in my notes. I try to stay as in order as I can. The only thing I write beforehand is the ending, and that's so I know what I'm writing towards.
Oh, that's interesting. It's I think the only I did once write the ending to my first fantasy series, but it was like the epilogue, and so I didn't really know what the climax was. I just knew where I wanted two particular characters at the end of it, and I wrote their ending, and then I was like, okay, and I don't exactly quite know the context behind it. You know, I don't know exactly how they win yet, but I had that written down.
Yeah, so, I actually love that process. I mean, that's half the fun of being the writer is you would think you'd know the entire story, but for me, I'm exploring it with them.
Yeah, there was another character. So I knew how I wanted this character died, and I knew what I wanted to happen to this character after their death, but I didn't know how they died. So literally just started out like character dies and then this happens. Then when I got to I wanted her to die. In the finale, because it was part of her redemption arc. She went way too far. She crossed that moral event horizon. Mm-hmm. And so even though I brought her back, she went too far. So
yeah, she went.
I had to kill her, but she died in a very noble and heroic and saving the day sort of way. So she got her redemption, but like, I just didn't quite know how that would play out. But I didn't write the ending like 2 books before then, because it kind of I understood where her character would be. So I fully understood the story by then. Because I didn't understand that story fully until I was done with the third book. And then I kind of at that point I kind of knew like which characters are on which side and how you know things were going to fall out, even if I didn't quite know how I would do it. But yeah. I kind of knew the broad strokes of it.
Yeah, you know what you need to build towards, how the characters need to develop, at least in part. You knew that she needed to be evil, or, you know, she needed to go too far, so you needed to include that in the story.
Yeah, yeah. And it's great, because it was, like, my main character, one of my main characters' best friend, and they got separated in the book, and so they're off doing their own things, and then I had like evil Jesus appear, and you know one of them was like, "Oh, you're Jesus, basically, and I'm totally down with it. What's that? You want me to do these horrible things? Well, I mean, I guess you are Jesus, so it must be fine."
Oh wow!
And yeah, And I put her in a very emotionally distraught state. So, like, I had, like, really broken her emotionally. And then, you know, her savior, her, you know, quote-unquote savior appears. And she's at such an emotional vulnerability that she doesn't even, you know, think. She just accepts this, like, comfort that's coming from, you know, this supposed savior. And, yeah. And then it leads her to do some very dark things. And, yeah.
It's always fun to explore those kind of complex emotions and how they have an effect on the characters, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't even know why, like, where the story came from. As I was just sort of developing it, I was like, okay, this happens and I won't, I don't know, I just felt where I needed to take the story. I'm so far removed from writing it now that it's hard to understand where my head was.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But, back to your writing, though. So, what's next for you in your Alaria series? You got another book coming out, or?
Well, for that series, it's actually done, kind of.
Okay, so just two books?
It gets complicated. So, the Dungeon Alaria series is over.
Okay.
But those two books were meant as a tie-in for my Game of Gods series.
Is that still ongoing?
And that one is still ongoing.
Okay, okay.
But the tie-in between the two books is now over, which is why it was only two books. It was always only going to be two books. Okay. But I have more ideas for the story for the characters. So at some point, I'll continue it under a new banner. Probably I'm thinking like the World of Alaria or something.
Okay.
So people know that it's the tie-in. But I wanted to change the banner it was under because at that point they no longer interact with the Game of Gods series.
Okay. That's nice. You know, I think readers kind of like when you kind of build a world for them to explore through your various books.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I'm trying to do with my Secret of the Jewels world where I have all these kind of different stories I can write in the world. I kind of built it that way so it wasn't just about one story but could host, you know, hundreds of stories.
Yeah.
All different sorts.
Oh, yeah. And I'm trying to kind of mimic Sanderson here with his Cosmere universe.
Yeah, I can't deny that Sanderson hasn't had a bit of an influence on me. And
yeah. I mean, the whole idea is something I love, of being able to tie all these books together. And so that's kind of something I'm working towards. I mean, obviously, I'm not on his level. I mean, the guy is phenomenal.
Yeah,
but I'm working towards it. So,
yeah, I'm more overt because obviously I'm not set in like different planets and being sneaky about it until he just got popular enough where he's like, oh, I'll come clean and it's all a shared universe. And
yeah,
yeah. Well, so besides continuing the Game of God series, what else do you got in the work? Anything else?
Yeah, I'm actually working on a zombie story right now.
Okay.
It's a mix of, like, The Last of Us and real life. It's how I would see the zombie apocalypse happening. Because, I mean,
okay,
without the virus, I mean, it's very insect-based, just like The Last of Us was, from what I remember the story.
Okay, sure, sure.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting. Well, good luck on that.
Yeah, seriously, so, it's an interesting project.
Yeah. So, where can our listeners find you on the internet?
They can find me on Facebook, Patreon, and Twitter.
Oh, you're the first person I've interviewed that had a Patreon. Really? I'm curious what your perks are. Yeah, yeah. Or if they had one, they didn't ever mention it. So I'm just curious what your perks are.
It's generally chapter-based, like 5 chapters, 10 chapters ahead of each other. And you get mentioned in the back of each of my book, each book I get released and stuff like that. I'm working towards other ones with like merchandise and stuff like that. It's just at this point I don't have a cool, you know, logo or thing to print out on merchandise. So once I get that done, it'll pop up.
Nice. All right. So yeah. So you got Patreon, you got Facebook, Twitter, and obviously you're on Amazon.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, it was really great talking to you, Joshua.
Yeah, same. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you have yourself a good day.
You too.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com or wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.